KPBS On Demand is supported by Project Blank, presenting the West Coast premiere of Reservoir 2, Intrusion, by American composer Sarah Hennes, featuring a constellation of voices, flute, and light. This installation performance takes place in the vaulted spaces at St. Paul's Cathedral. Tickets at projectblanksd.org.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Tuesday, October 29th. KPBS reporters join the podcast to talk about what's on your ballot. But first, let's do the headlines. The city's shelter system will lose more than 600 beds this year when shelters at Golden Hall and the Palmyra Valley Center close later this year. Yesterday, city leaders announced a plan to open hundreds of new shelter beds by December. That includes more than 160 at Veterans Village. Some will be for single men and seniors. Others will be for veterans. Akilah Templeton is the president and CEO of Veterans Village.
The primary focus will be on equipping veterans with the tools that they need, not just to transition into permanent housing, but to actually thrive once they find their forever home.
Other new beds will be at the San Diego Rescue Mission Shelter in National City. San Diego County is going to get some cooler weather this week. Today is supposed to be the coldest day of the week. If you live in the county's mountain areas or inland valleys, you can expect rain this morning. And in East County, snow is possible above 5,500 feet. It will also be gusty in the mountains and deserts today, with the strongest winds from 40 to 65 miles per hour. West of the mountains, winds will peak at 30 miles per hour. After today, we'll have dry conditions until Friday and possibly some rain over the weekend. For residents near Hamul and Poway, there's some road work you should know about. Caltrans says State Route 67 will have one-way traffic this week. Today, that applies between Poway Road and Rock House Road. Tomorrow and Thursday, it'll be one-way between Mina del Oro Road and Archie Moore Road. For folks in Hamul, State Route 94 between Rancho Hamul Drive to just east of Grande Creek Bridge will be one-way until Friday. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Voters from several cities in San Diego County will be deciding on whether to raise taxes or continue existing taxes in their hometowns. KPBS reporter John Carroll has been looking into what the various taxes are for. And John, there are four cities in the East County you have been looking at.
That's right, Debbie. They are El Cajon, Santee, Lemon Grove, and La Mesa. Two of the measures would extend current taxes, while the other ones are for new taxes. So let's start in El Cajon. Measure J there would extend a half-cent sales tax currently set to end in 2028. It would stay in place if it's approved through April of 2049. The city says the $13 million raised annually by the tax is critical to funding El Cajon's public safety operations. Now, the San Diego County Taxpayers Association opposed this tax when it was on the ballot in 2008, but the group supports it now, partly because Measure J would create an oversight committee comprised of residents, along with people selected by the Taxpayers Association and a local business advocacy group. In La Mesa, voters will be asked to extend the city's 3/4 cent sales tax. The city says the $12 million the tax raises annually funds public safety, along with city infrastructure, including streets, sidewalks, parks, and storm drains. La Mesa's mayor says renewing the tax will let the city maintain high-quality services for the community. The measure has strong support from La Mesa's two biggest public safety unions. It is also supported by the San Diego County Taxpayers Association. The SDCTA says La Mesa has demonstrated the need, has long-term plans for the funds, and they like the fact that there's a sunset clause.
Is there any organized opposition to either of the measures?
Well, the only opposition I could find comes from Carl DeMaio's Reform California organization. They say the funds would not be specifically earmarked for public safety or for infrastructure.
And what about the measures in Santee and Lemon Grove?
So those are both new taxes. Santee's Measure S would increase sales taxes by 0.5% from 7.75% to 8.25% for 15 years. It includes a 7-member oversight committee. The city says the funds are needed to renovate an existing firehouse, as well as building and staffing 2 new facilities. Proponents of the measure say Santee has not added an additional fire station since 1964. They say approval of the tax increase will address issues identified in the 2023 Santee Community Risk Assessment, including bringing 90% of the city into a 4-minute response time for first responders. They also say approval would actually save the city money by reducing insurance premiums, and they say the money would fund 6 additional firefighter paramedics. It is supported by the Santee Firefighters Association, Santee Mayor John Minto, and the San Diego Democratic Party, among other groups. But the Taxpayers Association opposes this one because they say it engages in ballot box budgeting, which they say is a dangerous practice for the provision of any public good or service.
What about Lemon Grove?
Well, there voters will decide whether to approve Measure T. It would raise the sales tax in the city by 1 cent. The city says it needs the revenue to fix potholes, repair storm drains, and improve the safety and quality of life there. It says its storm drains are now 50 or more years old and they are starting to fail. The city says that has cascading effects, leading to damage done to city streets, to sinkholes, and flooding. The city also says it needs the money to ensure rapid response to 911 emergencies.
But this one has the support of the San Diego County Taxpayers Association?
Yes, it does. They say that's because Measure T has a commitment to transparency, fiscal accountability, and sustainability, and it has a sunset clause. The association also says the measure addresses crucial infrastructure needs that just cannot be met without that increase.
And who opposes it?
Well, once again, Carl DeMaio's Reform California. Their reason is pretty much the same reason they give for opposing other tax measures, that the city would not be required to spend it on what they claim they'll spend it on, and that funds instead go to raises for city workers and to what Reform California calls bloated pensions for those workers.
KPBS reporter John Carroll, thank you. A race on the ballots of those who live within the city of San Diego is the city attorney's seat. Incumbent Mara Elliott is termed out after 8 years in office. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen spoke about the race with Midday Edition host Jade Heidman.
The San Diego City Attorney is the city's chief legal counsel. They can use the power of legal advice to steer lawmaking, but they don't technically pass laws. We have Heather Ferbert running against Brian Mainshine. Let's talk about who the candidates are and what they stand for.
Well, I'll start with Brian Mainshine. He has been a mainstay of San Diego politics for almost a quarter century now. He served on the San Diego City Council from 2000 to 2008. In 2012, he was elected to the State Assembly, and he has served there ever since. Noteworthy of Mainshine is that he used to be a Republican. He switched his party affiliation to Democrat in 2019 after a very, very close re-election battle. He says that his switch was simply due to the fact that Trump had taken the Republican Party too far to the right, and at the same time, in his years of public service, he had gotten more liberal. As far as his, you know, qualifications or his pitch to voters, he says he has lots of experience in lawmaking in all of his years in the city council and state legislature. He says he's got friendly relationships with elected officials, and, you know, that's a good reason to vote for him. Heather Ferbert already works in the city attorney's office as a chief deputy city attorney, so she is running to replace her boss, current city attorney Mara Elliott. Her pitch is that she says she's more experienced in the actual work that the city attorney's office does, and that is essentially translating the policy ideas of the mayor and the city council into legal language that is clear, that will not be misconstrued, that will accomplish the intent, and that can withstand lawsuits. And she also says that she'll be more independent than her opponent. She argues that all of these friendly relationships that Mainshine has built over the years are actually more of a liability to him, and that she won't be tied down by those relationships that he's built over his decades in politics, and she's just better positioned to give city officials really solid, objective legal advice.
Well, what are some of the major endorsements for each candidate?
Mainshine definitely has more of what I would call the establishment support. So he has been endorsed by the San Diego County Democratic Party, the Regional Chamber of Commerce, the county's biggest labor unions, Mayor Todd Gloria, and a host of other Democratic elected officials. Ferbert has been endorsed by her boss, current city attorney Mara Elliott. She was endorsed by the Union Tribune's editorial board and several unions that represent city employees, including deputy city attorneys, so the folks that, you know, work under her, and other white-collar workers at the city of San Diego.
Well, and Ferbert previously challenged Mainshine's eligibility to run for city attorney. What came of that?
Yeah, this is really interesting. It has to do with the language in the city charter that says a candidate for city attorney must have held a license to practice law in California for at least 10 years. You know, it was an effort to set some professional standards for the office, and the challenge that Ferbert made had to do with the time that Brian Mainshine has been a licensed attorney. So he got his law license in 1994, but most of the 30 years since then, he has not been practicing law, and his law license was inactive. So, you know, in light of this challenge, the city ultimately commissioned an independent legal analysis, and they determined that Brian Mainshine's time with an inactive law license does count towards that 10-year minimum. So the challenge was essentially dismissed, but I think Ferbert's point was really to get some attention to this matter and to make the argument that she has spent more time than Mainshine as a practicing lawyer.
That was KPBS Metro reporter Andrew Bowen and Midday Edition host Jade Heidman. For more coverage on what's on your ballot, go to kpbs.org/voterhub. San Diego County has its first locally acquired cases of dengue fever this month. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge tells us what that means.
Past cases of dengue we've seen in San Diego have all been in people who traveled to other countries, caught the fever there, and brought it home. But this month, for the first time, we saw two cases that were acquired locally. Dengue fever is carried by the Aedes aegypti mosquito, a native of Africa that has been in our region for about a decade. Allison Bray with County Vector Control says, unfortunately, they really like the taste of humans.
They love to bite people. They prefer to live in human-inhabited areas, so they can often be found breeding in backyards.
Dengue symptoms include headaches, nausea, and some severe bone pain. It can progress to dengue hemorrhagic fever that can lead to death in some cases. Bray says Vector Control has applied insecticide in those places where dengue cases have cropped up. She says the fever is still very rare in San Diego, and they want to keep it that way. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
Last week, the Coast Guard relieved two senior leaders in San Diego. Military and Veterans reporter Andrew Dyer says it could be some time before the reasons made public.
According to the Coast Guard, Captain James Spittler and Master Chief Michael Diacchino were relieved due to a loss in confidence following an investigation. Loss of confidence is often the only explanation offered by the military when leaders are fired and can mean anything. A Coast Guard spokesperson declined Monday to provide KPBS a copy of the investigation because it's not complete. There's more than 900 Coast Guardsmen stationed in San Diego, where they do everything from search and rescue and law enforcement to marine safety inspections. KPBS will have more once the investigation is released to the public, which could take weeks or months. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
Hi. Halloween is this Thursday, and this year, San Diego gets a new one-night-only film festival. Cinema Junkie podcast host Beth Accomando previews the Halloween Film Festival at Cinema Under the Stars.
This year's inaugural Halloween Film Festival grew out of an event that filmmaker Vic Terry co-hosted.
We did a premiere party for our film, Frankie, at Cinema Under the Stars, and it was such a cool experience, such a great celebration of art and community. And so we wanted to extend that to showcase the work of other talented artists and continue to build that community and foster those creative connections.
And build it around a Halloween theme, says Terry's partner in crime, Cassidy Bartolome.
We started taking submissions early this year and whittled it down to 8 independent films, all with Halloween as the forefront and focused on a fun, quirky, and funny side of Halloween.
So grab a blanket and a zero-gravity lounge chair this Halloween night and curl up under the stars for some scary fun at the Halloween Film Festival. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Tuesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the Museum of Contemporary Art San Diego, presenting For Dear Life, Art, Medicine, and Disability, an exhibition exploring how illness and disability become catalysts in art. Learn more at mcasd.org.